RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys coming up over the next 30 minutes. It's a Raiders day here on Send It In. We're talking Texas Tech with Chris Level, who's going to join us here in a little bit. And then we'll look at the Las Vegas Raiders as well as we finish up our AFC West previews. We got the final event on the PGA Tour calendar for this year, the Tour Championship. It's a teed up Tuesday. We'll talk about if anybody can beat Scotty out in Atlanta this week. Nick Kenyon going to join us later on in the show, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, love to hear from you guys over the next 30 minutes. Send in any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have, anything on Texas Tech especially. Make sure you send in your questions at the BetMGM Network, again on Twitch or on YouTube. And if you guys miss any parts of the show, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Tuesday and go to the Glasser guest line. It's Glasses in Session, and we are joined by Chris Level, who joins us. Give Chris a follow on X at Chris Level, publisher for RedRaiderSports.com, radio analyst for Texas Tech football, and host of the Locked On Texas Tech podcast as well. Chris, great to have you on, man, and some good timing. An unfortunate situation yesterday with running back Quentin Joyner tearing his ACL, so he's going to be out for the season. Talk about what kind of loss that is for Texas Tech, and who are some guys that you expect to step up in his absence?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, PJ. Injuries are the worst part of this of this time of year, and really just football in general. He was, Quentin was one of the guys that they brought in to, you know, as part of that top portal class, if not the top, one of the top portal classes. I think it was kind of down to Tech and Ohio State after he left USC. I do think he would have been the guy that got the most carries this year. You're trying to replace Taj Brooks, who's now playing for the Bengals. And so you're going to transition now to a couple of sophomores that both played last year in Cam Dickey and Jacoby Williams. But does it hurt you? I mean, yes. Is it? But how big of a deal is it? That's going to come down to what the offensive line, which was rebuilt via the portal as well. If the offensive line is as improved as they hope, you know, it not that it doesn't matter who's back there carrying it, but that's really what will tell the tale, because those two freshmen last year got some playing time, and they're sophomores now, and I think they've got plenty of talent, but did they have the room to run? And they're not probably quite as polished or experienced as Quentin, but yeah, not good news in Lubbock yesterday.
Do you think this changes the play calling at all, Chris, for the upcoming season? I know they're bringing in a new offensive coordinator. Have they talked about what they want their identity to be? Do they want a nice mix of run and pass? Did they want to be a run-first team, pass-first team? What was the identity? And do you think the Joyner injury, does that change it at all?
Yeah, PJ, you might as well be in Lubbock, Texas, because I've been asked that about 10 times just this morning. Hey, what's this mean? Mac Leftwich came from Texas State. He's kind of from the air raid tree, which Mike Leach made so famous, in the air raid offense. And here, I think Mac has typically wanted to be balanced. I think over the last two or three years, I think it's pretty close to 50-50. I would suggest now that I bet it's not going to be that this year. I bet it tilts more toward throwing it a bit more. Is that 55 or 60% of the time? Good question. But I do think it does alter the play calling just a bit. And it puts more pressure on that O-line and Baron Morton, the quarterback, to, manufacture offense at times. Your running back room's a little lighter, a little thinner, a little less deep. And I do think that will affect some play calling for sure.
Now, Chris, we're going to talk about the number one portal class that Texas Tech brought in. I want to get your thoughts on some guys that you think could be impact players. But one place they did not go get a portal guy was at quarterback, and they're sticking with Baron Morton. They think he's going to be the guy. So what is it about Baron that Joey McGuire, that coaching staff, feels so strongly about that they feel like they have their guy at that position and they didn't feel the need to go out and get somebody else?
One, he's a homegrown guy. This is the school where he wanted to grow up going to all along. So I think there's some sentimentality there. I just give you some context. But he's had a bad offensive line or very average offensive line in front of him at times. And I think he's battled through some injuries at times, but he's 14-4 as a starter. I think that he played all 12 games last year in the regular season before he elected to have some surgery, because I don't think he was 100% last year. But, he has I think it was 27 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. So it's a pretty good little ratio from touchdown interception ratio last year. And so I think they wanted to improve the parts around him. He's on some draft stuff. If you look at some of the Shrine Bowl lists and some of the award watch lists, I mean, he's definitely included. It's a loaded year in the Big 12 as far as quarterbacks. I think he's been slighted a bit, saying, oh, he's eighth best, he's ninth best. I mean, there's not many quarterbacks walking around at this level that are 14-4 as a starter, but he's got a lot of pressure on him. But I think there were several reasons why they felt strongly about him, but I think they feel like he can take them to a Big 12 championship.
So they're rolling with Morton as their quarterback, but as you mentioned, Chris, I mean, they bring in all these new guys through the portal. In your opinion, give us a guy or two that you really think is going to make a big impact from day one, one of the guys they're leaning on who they got in the portal.
Pick any one of the four defensive line starters that they're going to trot out there. They're all brand new. David Bailey, maybe the most highly sought after one. He transferred from Stanford in the spring. The NFL folks are saying, oh, yeah, this guy is going to be a second or third rounder next April. I think Lee Hunter was a second team All Big 12 defensive tackle last year. He's 6'2", 6'3", about 320. And I could keep going on the defensive line, but those two guys, I think, have created a lot of buzz. And that's really where the strength of this portal class is. It's up front on that defensive line. I mean, they added basically five new pieces up there. They kept pretty much every bit of the guys that played the bulk of the snaps last year. So those guys are all now second or third team. And they mixed in a few pieces in the secondary as well via the portal class. But those two guys up front, and I could give you Romello Height and Skylar Gil Howard, that whole defensive line is what got everybody excited around here.
They also got a new defensive coordinator as well, Chris. They're coming off a disappointing year where they gave up nearly 35 points per game. Overall, how do you expect that defensive unit to look this year? Do you think it's going to take them some time? Their non-conference schedule, not all that difficult, so they do have some weeks to kind of gel before they get into Big 12 play. From what you've been seeing, talking to people, do you think this group is gelling pretty quickly, or do you think it might take them 3 weeks or a month or so?
it better gel quickly. It needs to be much better than it was last year. I mean, last year was just one of the reasons, or the main reason why you weren't in the Big 12 title game. You beat both of the teams that played for the title game, but you just couldn't get enough people stopped on defense at times. So that's where a lot of the motivation came from with the portal class. We got to get this side of the ball fixed. I think Shield Wood has come in, formerly at Tulane, then he was at Houston, and Houston had a lot of problems last year, but defense wasn't one of them. And they trotted out a top 20, top 25 total defense last year. They just couldn't score enough points. I think he's actually going to keep it fairly simple schematically, because I think with the talent that they've put together, they don't need to be crazy with these exotic schemes and blitz packages and all these different things. Jacob Rodriguez, the Big 12 preseason Big 12 player of the year, middle linebacker. You got all those guys I talked about up front. They've added a couple of DBs and then a mixture of the guys that are returning and all that. I think that'll be vastly upgraded. How much better is it, though? Are we talking a top 30 unit, top 50 unit, top 70 unit? Because they were 122nd or something, I think, last year, and yet they were one win away from playing in the Big 12 title game. So if it gets a lot better, I mean, it could mean good things for Texas Tech.
We're talking Texas Tech Red Raiders here with Chris Level on Send It In. All right, Chris, want to get into the schedule with you because it's a difficult road schedule for Texas Tech in Big 12 play. They got road trips to Utah, Arizona State, and Kansas State, all teams definitely capable of winning the conference this season. Even with that difficult road schedule, do you still think Texas Tech has enough? Do you think they make it to Dallas and get to the Big 12 title game?
Yeah, PJ, this is one of the easier schedules I've seen Texas Tech have on paper in the last 20-something years. When you take Texas and A&M and Oklahoma and these schools with realignment off of your schedule, one of the biggest home game is against BYU, which won't be easy. But this is, and you mentioned the non-conference schedule at all. It's just there's not a lot there that should test you. This is going to come down to three games, in my opinion, and it's going to come down to a trip to Salt Lake City, a trip to Tempe, Arizona, and a trip to Manhattan, Kansas. If you can win two of those three, I think you're in Arlington. Yeah. If you lose all three, I think you can't get there. If you win one of the three, good question. I mean, that may come down to tiebreakers and all the different things, but that's in a nutshell. It'll come down to those three games, and you're going to have to be able to win on the road, or you're not going to get to where you want to go.
What do you think would be considered a successful year, Chris, for Texas Tech this season? Do you think it's the amount of wins, or do you think it's ultimately where they get, right? If they go 10-2, miss out on the Big 12 title game, do you think they can still consider that successful, or is it all about getting to the Big 12 title game this year with all the expectations they have?
I've talked about this kind of topic about every which way you possibly can this summer. Hey, what if you go 10-2, but it's not good enough to get to Arlington? What if all these different angles? To me, it's getting to Arlington. I don't care what that looks like. If that's 8-4, 9-3, 10-2, it doesn't matter. It's cracking the code to get to Arlington to play for a league championship, which you have never done. And I think there's some folks here that are very frustrated by that, that are embarrassed by it, that are, financially motivated by it. I mean, all the things. And I think Joey McGuire would tell you not only is it a failure if they don't get to Arlington, it's a failure if they don't get to Arlington and win. But I'm just saying, man, you gotta get there first, and then you cross that bridge. But yeah, I don't think a win total matters near as much as just playing for a league championship.
Yeah, fair enough. Chris, we'll leave you with this in about 30 seconds. Which team in the Big 12 do you think is going to be the biggest competitor to Texas Tech this year? Who's the team that scares you the most?
Arizona State, just because I think they have so much back. They're battling complacency. That's their biggest issue. They have so much production back. I think Kenny Dillingham is really good at what he does, but it's complacency. Do they want to stay hungry, and can they win all those close games? But it would one, and then 1A would be Kansas State. That team makes me nervous as well.
Love it. Great stuff. Chris Level, give him a follow on X at Chris Level, publisher for RedRaidersports.com, radio analyst for Texas Tech football, and host of the Locked On Texas Tech podcast as well. Chris, really appreciate the time, man. Have a great season. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Hey, thank you so much. Keep hope alive. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Great stuff there from Chris Level talking a little Texas Tech. Let's continue to preview the Red Raiders here on Send It In. And again, Chris talked about it, the schedule, guys. The road schedule in Big 12 play, definitely a little bit challenging, but the non-conference schedule, the home schedule, pretty favorable there for Texas Tech. Definitely going to be favorites in all those games. And I think for a team that's bringing in so many new pieces on both sides of the ball, but especially on defense, and you have a new defensive coordinator, you're changing up your scheme. The fact that you get Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Kent State, Oregon State the first 3 weeks of the season before you get ready for that massive road trip to Utah, I think that definitely helps out Texas Tech. Make sure they got everything ready to go to that trip to Salt Lake City. But as Chris said, it really does come down to those three road games. Utah, Kansas State, and Arizona State. All four of those teams, the three teams that they play on the road, and Texas Tech, all towards the top of the leaderboard right now in terms of odds to win the Big 12. If they win two of those three games, they're going to be in good shape. My personal opinion, though, I don't think they're going to win two of those three games. I think they probably win one. Certainly wouldn't be shocked if they don't win any of them. Probably going to be an underdog in all those games. But because of the magnitude of those games, and Utah is a really tough place to play. Kansas State is a tough place to play. And with the expectations that Arizona State has this year, that's not going to be an easy place to play as well. So difficult road schedule for Texas Tech. I think it's interesting. We're going to talk about Baylor later this week. But all three of those opponents, Baylor gets it home. So again, tiebreakers are going to be such a big part of this. You're going to see a lot of Big 12 teams this year with very similar conference record. It's really going to come down to just kind of the key wins for a lot of these teams. Texas Tech's win totals at 8.5. The over is juiced heavily to minus 155. I think that line is about right. You know, I expect them to lose two of those road games, which gets them at 10 wins maximum. And then you probably figure that maybe they lose the other road game, or that maybe they trip up in a home game you don't expect. So I think 8-9 wins about right for Texas Tech. I'm not touching that. But I'm also not betting this team to get to Dallas and make it to the Big 12 title game, or even win the Big 12 title game. Just too many questions for me with Texas Tech. They're bringing in two new coordinators, one on offense, one on defense, both sides of the ball. And then, yes, they have the number one transfer portal class in college football. And in this NIL era, that is usually the recipe for success, bringing in a ton of new talent, paying for a lot of your players. Ohio State won the national championship that way. Washington had a great portal class 2 years ago when they made it to the Natty. So Texas Tech is trying to follow that blueprint. We'll see if they can make it all gel in time. But the Big 12, you got a lot of returning quarterbacks, a lot of good coaches in that league, a lot of teams that know their identity. And talking to Chris, like, we don't even know what Texas Tech's identity is on offense. So I think they're still trying to figure everybody out. Now, they do have some great recruiting classes coming up over the next couple of years. I would buy into Texas Tech maybe the next couple of years. I think we're still a year early on the Red Raiders, especially the prices that we're getting. They certainly have taken some money. Their odds have gotten shorter, so no interest for me getting Texas Tech to win the Big 12. I'm staying away from the Red Raiders this season. All right, let's go from the Texas Tech Red Raiders to the Las Vegas Raiders here on Send It In. And boy, do I like the Raiders this season. If you guys listen to the show, you know I am big on the Raiders. I bet them to make the playoffs at plus 300. I bet their win total over 7.5 as well at plus 130. Raiders over 7.5 wins is probably one of my favorite win totals for the entire season. Obviously liked it a lot better at 6.5. I still like it though at 7.5 at the plus money. I love what the Raiders did this offseason. Bring in a new head coach. And not only did they bring in a new head coach, but the Raiders finally brought in somebody that knows what they're doing. Somebody that has had success as a coach in the NFL. Somebody that has won a Super Bowl in the NFL. No more Antonio Pierce, Josh McDaniels, Jack Del Rio, none of this. They've brought in somebody who built a sustained winning culture in Seattle, won a Super Bowl, knows what it takes to win games in this league, and I absolutely love the move, and I love the fact that they went out in the offseason and got his quarterback. They got Geno Smith to pair up once again with Pete Carroll. Geno Smith, do you guys know that he has played 14 career games indoors? In those games, Geno has a 110.8 passer rating, 30 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. I've talked about it a bunch. We all talk about how great Jared Goff is indoors. We do not talk about how great Geno Smith is indoors, playing in Vegas at Allegiant Stadium, going to play half his games, more than half his games, because he gets SoFi too, indoors. So big for Geno that now he plays for a team where he gets to play inside, has one of the best weapons in all of football, and Brock Bowers, maybe the best tight end. Genty at running back is going to be really, really good. The defense is definitely the concern, no question. Outside of Max Crosby, a lot of what-ifs on this Raiders defense, but that's built into the win total. That's built into the price, and also the fact that the division that they play in. You had three teams that made the playoffs this past year. But I think the Chargers are a little bit overrated. I think Denver is a little bit overrated as well. And this Raiders schedule really isn't all that difficult. You know, they play the AFC South, and then they also get the NFC East. They obviously have to play their division, so they got to play the Chiefs, the Broncos, and the Chargers six times. But I like the Raiders, man. I love the move of getting Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator as well. So you got Chip Kelly, you got Pete Carroll on the same staff, you got Geno now as your quarterback. I like what the Raiders did. I don't think Pete Carroll came out of retirement to win six games. I think he feels like he is a team that can make the postseason. I like betting them to make the playoffs at plus 300, and I like going over the win total at 7.5 as well. Raiders are my surprise team in the AFC this year. The one that not a lot of people are talking about that could sneak up and make the playoffs, I would look at Vegas being that team for the upcoming season. All right, promo from our friends at BetMGM and any sport odds boost token. No matter where the action is, we'll supercharge the odds on your next sports bet. Use this odds boost token to boost your potential payout from a winning bet. Brought to you by the Sportsbook Born in Vegas, BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. Let's check in now with our guy Nick Kenyon, who joins us each and every Tuesday here on Send It In. Going to get to a lot with Nick. Talk a little golf, talk a little soccer, and talk some NFL as well. Nick, let's start with the Tour Championship, my friend. We're out at Eastlake this week in Atlanta. Did you bet anything? Only 30 golfers in the field. Any bets for you?
Hi, PJ. Always good to be with you. Yeah, a couple of angles I think you can find at Eastlake this week. The one thing I want to mention is if you basically just go back to TPC Southwind a few weeks ago and play guys here who did well there, I don't think that's the worst strategy in the world. This course, Eastlake, there is a big rough penalty, and it's a driver-heavy course. That's basically the same as Southwind. So you're going to have to hit a lot of fairways. So distance and accuracy are going to be really important, especially because it's a par 70 that measures over 7,400 yards. So a little bit longer than Southwind, but I still think the correlations exist between these two courses. So with that said, I don't know what the market is doing with JJ Spahn. 30-1, that's crazy to me. He was the first guy I wrote up for the blog this week. I think he has excelled this year both in driving distance and accuracy, and he hit so many fairways. Obviously lost in a playoff to Justin Rose in Memphis a couple of weeks ago. We've seen him beat Scottie Scheffler in an event this year at the U.S. Open. That's another course where you need to hit a lot of fairways while being long as well. So Spahn at 30-1, I think that price is ludicrous. And then look, I know the price is terrible. Tommy Fleetwood, 12-1. Let's do it.
No.
I know. I'm sorry, PJ. It just makes too much sense this week. The metrics are so good. Total driving wise, he doesn't have the distance off the tee that some of the guys in the field do, but he leads the field in good drives gained over his last 12 measured rounds, second in strokes gained tee to green over that sample. They call him Fairway Jesus for a reason. It's because he basically never misses it. So if he can play from the fairway, the approach numbers have looked so good of late, over 4.5 strokes on approach in each of his last two starts. I mean, look, a tie for third and a tie for fourth in his last two events is just, I mean, it's too good to pass up. So I hate the number, but I love the player. So Tommy Fleetwood, 12-1. Let's say a prayer and hope he just steals a win this week.
Fair enough. Nick, now you mentioned two guys, JJ Spahn and Tommy Fleetwood. Would you bet those in the market without Scotty, or would you actually take a shot in the outright market with him?
So I will add the caveat that it is a pretty good Scheffler week. Like, yeah. I don't expect him to lose this week. I think his, like, floor is probably, what, like, third or fourth, basically? And all signs point to him being the guy to beat this week. I mean, look, he's plus 150 on the odds board, of course. I'm not going out on a limb saying that, but I think I would look at Spahn in the without Scheffler market. I kind of like the better price just because we've seen him do it this year at Oakmont. Mm-hmm. Tommy, no chance. 8-1 in the without Scheffler market. I would rather just take the 4 extra points and say a prayer and hope for the best that he gets it done.
Fair enough. All right, Nick, let's talk a little soccer, my friend. We have the EPL return this weekend. We got to see some teams play some games. Don't want to overreact too much to one game, but did you have any takeaways from what you saw over the weekend?
I mean, Newcastle is going to be concerning. If they sell Alexander Isak or he just continues to hold out for this team, that attack went to Aston Villa, who is by no means one of the league's best defenses. They got a red card advantage on 67 minutes, and they still couldn't find the back of the net. I think they amassed like under 0.5 post-shot expected goals for the entire match. I just don't see it with this team. Like, if they sell, Isak is far and away their best player, and he amassed so much of their XG tally last year that if they sell him, I don't know where they go from here. And I think looking ahead to this week, they're home dogs to Liverpool, who are around even money right now to win at Newcastle. The last time Liverpool went to St. James's Park, they scored 3 goals off of like 3.4 post-shot XG. So if you think there's a baseline with the Liverpool attack, I can't believe that price isn't closer to like minus 130 or minus 135. So do like Liverpool quite a bit. One more team I'll mention. As long as Everton don't have Jared Branthwaite, that defense is going to be a problem. There's sort of a glass half full, half empty look with them yesterday at Leeds United, who is not a good attack by any means. They allowed 21 shots to Leeds yesterday. Now, only 2 of those hit the target. One of them was a penalty that was a little bit controversial. But the fact they just let them take so many shots is really concerning for Everton's profile going forward. They're expected to get Branthwaite back in about a month. As long as he's out, I'm going to be looking to sell the Everton defense moving forward.
All right, very good. Nick, we looked at our final AFC West team today. That was the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm really high on the Raiders. I like them quite a bit this year. Where are you on Vegas for the upcoming season?
Yeah, so nice of you to steal like 95% of what I was going to say, PJ, but we're in lockstep on the Raiders. I just wrote them up last week as one of 3 NFL dark horse candidates. Go check out that story on the blog. It's basically 3 teams, I think, that could challenge for a playoff berth with win totals under 7.5. But 2 things I'll add that you did not say. Mm-hmm. They were 0-6 in division games last year. I will be very surprised if they lose all 6 division games again this year. I kind of agree with you. Their chance to sell Denver and Los Angeles, maybe not the Chiefs, but who knows? Maybe they steal a win over there. Pete Carroll, in 15 years with the Seahawks, do you know how many times he finished under with 7 or fewer wins? Only once. So I really like the win total a lot. And their defense dropped 10 spots in DVOA last year, but they were also the Lions suffered more adjusted games lost to injury on defense. So I think you could see the defense take a step forward. Really like the Raiders from the futures profile. And I can't believe you're getting 3 points in week 1 at New England. I'll be selling the hype on the Patriots there. And I think the Raiders at minimum cover a key number against the pass.
Totally with you. Nick, you can have the points. I'm taking money line, baby. Raiders are starting out in fashion in week 1 against the Patriots. Love it. Great stuff from our guy, Nick Kenyon. Give him a follow on X at Nick Kenyon, BetMGM senior writer. Talk to him each and every Tuesday. Nick, always appreciate the time, sir. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
You got it. All right, guys. Quickly teed up Tuesday. Let's get to the Tour Championship out in Atlanta. This week, it's a par 70 golf course playing at 7,440 yards. It's a big course. You can see why Nick compared it a lot to TPC Southwind because, again, you want guys that can hit it far and can hit it straight. Strokes gain tee off the tee this week, going to be very crucial. This rough is extremely penal, so you do want guys that can hit fairways. Also important to note this week at the Tour Championship, last couple years, if you'd follow this event, you usually have that staggered start, right? So Scotty, who's number 1 in points, would start this event at 10 under. Rory, who was 2nd, would be 8 under, and so on down the list. This year, everybody's at even strength, just a regular golf tournament. They all start at even par. Whoever wins the tournament wins the FedEx Cup. And even with all that, Scotty is still a massive favorite at plus 150. He's probably going to win again this week, let's be honest with ourselves. So if you are going to bet outrights, would definitely look at the without Scottie Scheffler market. 3 guys I would have my eye on. First one is Russell Henley at 12-1. Russ has been terrific this season. He's been so accurate. He's been so good strokes gained off the tee. He's been such a great ball striker. Has finished in the top 17 in his last six events. And with only 30 guys in the field this week, I think he's going to be right in contention. So Russ 12-1 without Scotty this week. How about Victor Hovland at 14-1? We'll go right back to the well with Vic. Had a nice week out in Baltimore. I think he builds off of that, plays well again this week in Atlanta. He's 14-1 without Scotty. And then probably my favorite bet is going to be Sam Burns at 16-1 without Scotty. He is top 10 in strokes gained off the tee, and he is in the last 2 months. He's also right now in the top 10 in par 4 scoring, par 5 scoring, and he has played at Eastlake the last 2 years, so he does have some course history there. So Sam Burns going to be important. There are only 2 par 5s this week. Better make sure you can take advantage of those. Take advantage of par 4s as well. Burns obviously was right there at Oakmont. He's been one of the best putters this year. Sam Burns 16-1, along with Henley and Victor Hovland, the three guys that I'm looking at this week. All right, you guys, wrap up the show. PJ's plays here on Send It In. Going streaking, Juan Soto is back in D.C. tonight, taking on Jake Irvin and the Nationals. I'll take Soto to get a base hit. He is my player today in going streaking. My prop lock, love the Raiders. Over 7.5 wins at plus 130. If you want to take them to make the playoffs at plus 300 as well, don't hate that either. But Raiders over wins is going to be my prop lock. We're going back to the well with the Orioles at plus 120 against the Red Sox tonight. You guys, the vibes in Baltimore right now are really good. They called up their top two prospects over the last couple days, Beavers and Basayo. They're really contributing. The lineup just feels complete. It looks way better. I'd back Baltimore again today against Boston. And then give me the Yankees, my best bet against Tampa. Yanks coming off a sweep against St. Louis. It's going to be a home game for them tonight, playing in their spring training park against Tampa. Rodon is on the mound. Give me the Yankees, minus 130 against Tampa. Thanks again to Chris Level, Nick Kenyon for joining us today on the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, we will see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.